I would have found you sleeping on the floor.
Oh. Okay.
Where do I sign?
You could sign there, and you're being recorded.
Okay. So good morning, and thank you for having me here. I am Hilda, a compulsive overeater and food addict. And I found two pictures in my big book. So I will pass them. One is of me, I think I'm about 3, and the other one is in my 20s sometime. So what she said, and then I'm thinking, oh, what am I going to share? And it's, I have to remember, it's not about me. And that's really hard for me to do. I even wanted to do something about me today. I just got this brand new puppy, and I just could justify bringing him here. But, you know, I don't know if somebody has an allergy, if someone's seriously asthmatic, you know, but it's just a little puppy. So, and then I realized that's just selfish. And so it didn't feel natural to leave him on a day off when I can bring him, and he's so little he could fit right here. But I had to do the contrary. And you know what? It, to me, that's spirituality, like being aligned with my higher power's will. And so today is, what is it? International Day of Experience Abstinence. And I definitely have abstinence under my belt, but I've also been abstinent with the food and not abstinent emotionally or having recovery, which is means I straighten out spiritually and emotionally and physically, I straighten out as well. And that just led me back into relapse. And the details were that it snuck up really, really, really slow on me. And it's, I went into a place where lots of food is delivered because that's the kind of environment I work in. And one day I just caved, and it wasn't a lot of, it was a bite or two, but it was, I'll take a little sliver. Then I went back for another sliver. Well, I'll go back for half. And that was it. And then I had to be honest about it like a day or two later. And it was just tearing me up inside. But once I was honest about it, I stopped beating myself up. And the disease of compulsive overeating cannot win against honesty. And I learned that. I learned that with that relapse, and I've learned that as I've become more honest. So that is a way of experiencing abstinence for me, because an example I have, a few months ago, I was making a new recipe in my head. I was sort of like conglomerating it. Well, it could be a fat, and it could be this, and it could be that. Yeah, I can make it work. So I actually shared that with my sponsor, which means I had to be honest, which means I had to get over the shame of the fact that these were the thoughts that were growing in my head. And that's a miracle that I got over that shame. Shame's been a big, big, big handicap for me and has allowed my disease to really flourish. So I said, screw that shame, and I shared it with her. And what she told me was, is you're looking to fill something that only God can fill. And I thought that was the most amazing thing I heard in my life. And I realized, wow. And all I saw was, wow, I was honest. I was honest. And then that perplexity to take this little seed of a thought and then grow with it. And actually, my disease will justify something and make it seem like it's right. And only a recovered head living in spirituality, when I'm aligned with my higher power, lets me see that this is not spiritual. This is not appropriate. And that's the clearest example. I was so amazed at the power that was taken away from the food and reshifted to my higher power with honesty. So, like, in terms of experiencing abstinence, if I had not been honest with my sponsor, which that's not my first instinct all the time, I don't know if I would have continued to experience abstinence from that point on. And I was so happy, I was sharing with everybody, and then I realized this disease is completely powerless over honesty. And I thought, wow, honesty. But honesty is not easy, but it got easier. And a lot of it in the beginning was just doing the contrary. And I had these small experiences of just being really held tight, like my higher power was behind me, hugging me. And a lot of it was just following the principles of the program. Another one was, and this is where I really kind of saw reflected back on step one, is I work in an environment where there's a lot of free food, and I could smell it. And I thought, wow, I knew. I mean, the thought was loud and clear. I think it was that can thing. Hilda, if you walk through that door, you're going straight for the food. I knew I was. But I thought, you know what? Make a phone call. What can I do? I made a phone call. And I told on myself. I didn't get an actual person or voice. And I said, hey, there's some pizza on the other side. I don't know. Sorry, I'm not supposed to say food. And I really want it. And I just got to tell someone. And I hung up. And I actually could walk through those doors, and I was fine. I was honest. Again, I was honest. And it wasn't this big, aww. It was just, I was able, and it wasn't easy. And like, I knew I was sort of teeter-tottering, but I didn't do it alone. I didn't try and push through it alone. I knew that I can't do it alone. And that was really a big part of my step one, is no matter what, I know, like, you cannot take this thought away from me, this belief, no matter what. I will never, ever. I've gone up against the food so many times enough to know that I will never win. No matter how good something smells, or I can even fantasize probably about tasting it, then I know in every bone of my body that I'm going to lose against the food. So that's just knowing. There's a lot more for me to stay abstinent, but that was a big part of it, because if I didn't know that, I'd keep trying to prove it and prove it and prove it, and I'd still be at step one, and I'm just tired of trying to prove something that clearly is not ever going to happen. So I bring that, that's something that is just with me. And I remember the day I took my step one, my sponsor said, that is your step one. I forget what I said, but that thought, that's when that thought finally got sealed. No matter what I ever do, my food, I'm never going to win against the food. Okay, now what? a lot of it is, step two, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Well, I was raised Catholic. I believe in God, everything's God, you know, like, God here, God that, everything. So, but I didn't quite understand how I believe in God. And I finally realized, because you don't know what we don't know. I finally realized, oh, I never connected God with the food. It just wasn't a preconceived notion. It wasn't there. I didn't even know that I had to let God in for food. I thought God was everywhere. And that was brand new to me too. And I've learned that wherever I am fighting and fighting and fighting, not just with food, but people, places, things, everything. I went through this 2 days ago. I wanted my Wednesday to go this way. And God wanted my Wednesday to go this way. And what I was gonna do on Wednesday and what God wanted me to do on Wednesday were not the same. And when I stopped fighting and I said, okay, I wasn't tired anymore. All of a sudden, I just wasn't exhausted anymore. And I wanted to go to a Zumba class Wednesday night. I had to go take a class for my job Wednesday night. Oh, big deal. Now I get to keep my job. I get to go to work. I get a paycheck. You know, I'm a little sick. I probably need to rest. I just ran a half marathon on Saturday. Do I really need to go to a Zumba class on Wednesday? No, but that's what I wanted. What I want. So it's just, okay. So I stopped, paused. I paused for a minute, and I realized, God's in here, stop fighting it, because I'm never going to win. And I'm less tired. I use up less energy. I know that's in our big book somewhere. And I got it. And it was clear. It was so clear. And that was that there was no food in there, but that is not abstinent behavior for me. Knowing that, like, this is me bucking up against my higher power. And I'm going to get tired. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Eventually, I'm going to get hungry. And even though I know I'll never win up against the food, I don't have the ability to always keep my mouth shut and my hands down. I have to rely on my higher power for that. So I better get aligned with my higher power and not buck against my higher power. So, you know, and these are abstinent thoughts. And I have to share this with my sponsor because on top of that, I have a lot of defiant thoughts. And I don't always want to listen to the rules. I'm going to do things my way because I think I'm special and I'm an exception to the rule. These are things that all happened to me this week. And then I hear, you're going to eventually pick up food if you keep doing this because, like, I'm right. I'm right. They screwed up. I'm right. And it's like, well, I don't care if I'm right. I realize that I can be right and I'll be dead. And when I realize that, it's like, how right do I have to be? Okay, you know, so that doesn't mean that this resentment, because it's really a resentment that I haven't really completely cleaned out. That's what that is. And it doesn't mean that 5 minutes later the resentment was gone. All I realized was, when I got off the phone, was if I continue to nurture and let this resentment grow, I'm going to die. I don't want to die. And I know that's spiritual because my higher power doesn't want me to die either. So my will there is aligned with my higher power. So then I have to take the actions that I'm capable of to start working at cleaning out this resentment. I'm capable of working on it. And when it gets lifted, it gets lifted. But clearly it's not completely been lifted if all of a sudden I'm like having rebel knee-jerk reaction to sort of an authoritative figure. There's something there. And even though there's not food there, there's no need for it to go all the way to the food. That is an example of, and for me, this is like a revelation, like, holy cow, I'm so happy to see that. And that's how I stay abstinent. I have no desire to see how far I can go without picking up food and keeping that resentment. I really have no desire for that. And it's sort of those thoughts are there, okay, that resentment's there, I'm working on it, it's going to get lifted when it does get lifted, but right now I'm not picking up food, I'm not thinking about food, I'm not fantasizing about anything, I have my food, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I feel good. Okay, that's great. And then life happens 3 minutes later. So now what? So I have to keep my higher power with me all the time. And when change happens, and change is always going to happen, it's like, now what? All of a sudden, our bearings, it's like that roller coaster, but it's a roller coaster that my higher power knows that I'm ready for. And the only gauge I have is I don't feel good. That's all I know. I don't feel good. I don't feel right. I don't feel the same way I felt 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. What's wrong? And I can't put my finger on it. But I know that I have to be grateful. I know that I need to stay abstinent. I know that I cannot live a selfish, self-centered, resentful, fearful life because I'm going to pick up food and I'm going to die. And I forget that thought of this is death sometimes is here and sometimes is here. And when it gets here, I need to remember that it's death. I don't want to die. When it comes to that, and then I realize, okay, just tell me what I got to do and I'll do it because I feel good being this way. And sometimes I don't feel like doing the work to get spiritual and being right there with my higher power. But I don't let it get to the point to where I'm picking up food. And I realized, no, I don't want to feel that way either. So, and by the time I'm there aligned with my higher power, it feels good, and I want to do it all the time because it feels good. It feels so much better than any food. So it's just, it's a matter of keeping that with me all the time, that my higher power's got my back no matter what. My higher power is there all the time, and whether, you know, how much work I may do is how clear I see it. How much time do I have left? So I heard this awesome example in a meeting, and although it wasn't my experience, I'm just grateful that I had some clarity in it, because things have been fuzzy for a little lately. And so it was a meeting on a tradition, and somebody was sharing on their experience on a tradition, and they were at the grocery store at one end of an aisle, and they saw somebody, or somebody saw them from another meeting, the other end of the aisle, and they yell out, "Are you going to the meeting tonight?" And everyone just like, "Oh my God." And I thought, wow. So at the end of the meeting, or towards the end of the meeting, I thought to myself, you know what? Somebody needed to hear that. Somebody in that grocery store needed to hear, "Are you going to the OA meeting tonight?" Somebody needed to hear about OA. They may not know what OA is, but they needed to hear the words OA. Who it was, we don't know. That's how God chose to deliver that message to them. And when I was sharing that with my sponsor in the end, I was like, oh, I'm so grateful that I can see this. Because when I'm not hanging out with God, I'm not going to see these things. And then I think, okay, I'm doing okay. So just keep doing what I'm doing. And sometimes it's hard work, and sometimes it feels good, and it feels like I'm not working. But I am. It's just I'm not fighting. So that the abstinence feels good. And then sometimes the abstinence is like, well, I can't go in that room. But I know that. And I don't have the willingness to go into that room because there's food there. Or I'm not going to that event. I don't feel right. Or I'm going to that event, but I'm going to eat before I get there because there's just no need for me to be around that food table. And, you know, I don't see that I'm going to be of service in this particular situation. I don't have to go. Or I might be avoiding a particular situation because that's not something I want to do. I don't want to be uncomfortable. Well, I can be uncomfortable and abstinent, but I have to have some serious faith in my higher power. And I do have that faith. And how do I get there? Steps 1 through 12, 1 through 10, 1 through 9. That's how I get there. And every time, like, I get proven, there's just a little bit more proof that my higher power's there. And you can't unprove that, because I got through many educational institutions, and I hate studying with all my heart and soul. How did I get through it? God. That's the only answer I have. And, like, I had been saying that before I came to OA. I just didn't realize that God could also do it with food. So I had that. I just needed that much more for the faith. So what happened there? Small little miracles. You know, on the appropriate time, more will be revealed. So my sponsor says to me. And it's true. At certain times, I had just a little bit more revealed to me. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, it works. It happened before. And then just a little bit more gets revealed to me. So I always, always get what I need. And that is really, really a true miracle. Always, no matter what, I've always gotten what I need. And it's not always the way I want it to be. And I had to get new brakes yesterday. I have to, for my job, I have to keep a lot of certificates current, and one of them has cost $750. So I have school loans that I have to pay. But somehow my bank rejected a payment to the school loan. The school loan wants their money, and I told them, and that apparently this happens often. Banks will not pay payments because of security reasons. So then everything got bumped over certain months. So this month I get to hold on to a certain amount of money that was needed for a school loan. Well, I have payments. I get new brakes. I have to pay money for some certificates, a lot of money. And it was down there. I'm like, oh, how am I going to get that money? Well, I got it. And it started with my bank was rejected a payment. And I was fuming. I was livid when I got that phone call. And, you know, I did things that I didn't want to do. I called the school loan agency. I called the bank back. I did the legwork that I'm able to do. And I got what I needed. And I have to have these certificates or I can't work. I can't legally work. So it worked out. Like, it just, I got what I needed. So that's how I stay abstinent. And that's how it is. And it's one day at a time. It's the principles, the faith, the work, the spirituality, the emotional, and the abstinence. It all comes together in the way it's supposed to, and it works the way it's supposed to. Not always the way I want it to, but it works out the way that it's supposed to work out. And I know that it is the way that it is, and I'm just grateful that I can see God in every situation. I can see my higher power in every situation. And now I've learned that if I don't see my higher power in a situation, I got some work to do. And that's loud and clear. I can't even deny that I know that now because I just shared it with you. So my disease will tell me that you're fine, you're fine. Because my disease will always justify everything. It will justify absolutely everything. And people, that's recovery. That's what is practice. Well, not if it's not coming from a spiritual basis. So I think that's all I have.
Hildy, tell everybody how far you drove today.
Oh, I drove an hour and 20 minutes.
So thank you so much. Any questions for Hildy? I call her Hildy.